against the leper, but we need Jesus now more than ever. Jesus now more than ever. We are saved. He touched the dumb man and he started talking. He put their lives all back together. But we need Jesus now more than ever. Jesus now. Only Jesus' blood can give protection. Jesus now, more than ever, we are saving through stormy weather. All God's children should pray together, 'cause we need Jesus now more than ever. Jesus now more than ever. We are sailing through stormy weather.
We are learning that truth by experience more and more in our lives. Jesus now more than ever. Let us turn this morning to the 27th chapter of Genesis. Genesis 27. We will begin with verse 30. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, Who art thou? He said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. I want to speak this morning on the blessing of the Lord. Isaac has just conferred the blessing of the Abrahamic covenant upon Jacob. And here we find out, he shall be blessed. I want to see five major facts in regard to the blessing of the Lord this morning. And the first one is found in this phrase, yea, and he shall be blessed. It means that the blessing which he conferred upon Jacob is indeed guaranteed. We find this a number of places in the scripture, and it is so important to us because we are still under the Abrahamic covenant today, and we too have been blessed in exactly the same manner. We find out that God, in the very beginning, when he gave this covenant to Abraham, we'll not turn there, you can find it in Genesis 17, God said, I will establish my covenant. It is sure, it is guaranteed. I will establish my covenant between thee and thee, thy seed after thee and their generation, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And so it is a covenant that will never be revoked or disannulled or reversed. This brings us to the second point concerning our blessing from the Lord, and that is that this covenant is guaranteed on the basis of promise and election. Let us go to the 9th chapter of Romans. Romans 9. Paul, in these three chapters of Romans, are speaking of the past, present, and future of Israel. But I want to notice, of course, that as we have seen so many times before, the Abrahamic covenant also applies to us Gentiles. He is the father of faith. And when we are of faith, this same covenant is bestowed upon us. Now you will notice here in the 7th verse of this chapter, neither Paul speaking of the blessing that has been conferred upon Abraham and his seed, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And then the apostle goes on to really describe and explain these things on down through the chapter. And so let's pick up our story here with verse 9. This is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And we remember that story, how that God had come to Abraham, and we know the story of how that Abraham and Sarah had turned to Hagar, and that was not the promised son. And then God announced very emphatically that about this time next year, then Sarah, your wife, is going to have a son. It was based on the promise, and indeed, that promise came to pass. But notice verse 10, and not only this. He means this is not the only promise that God gave in this regard. In other words, Abraham and Sarah were not the only ones to whom God made the promise. Notice, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the younger shall serve, the elder rather shall serve the younger. These two are found in this portion. The blessing of the Lord comes by promise, and it comes by election. We are looking at exactly the same incident that we saw over in Genesis 27. Yes, Sarah was going to have a child. His name was Isaac. He was born. But Rebekah was also given a glorious promise here. And her promise, and as the Apostle Paul says here, it was made while these two were still in the womb. And that is that the elder shall serve the younger. The election of God means the choice of God. He can do whatever he wants to with his own. Now you will notice here in verse 14, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. He means, is God unrighteous because he chose the younger over the elder? Is God unrighteous because he chose Jacob? It was by election. He goes on to justify and to show more of that. But I want to go down to some of these other verses here. Notice verse 12. Or verse 14. Again, is God unrighteous? No, he's not. Verse 15. He said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. This brings us to that glorious thought and realization that God made this by election, so to speak. God elected Jacob because this would be on the basis of faith. This is exactly what he is talking about here in verse 16. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. It's the same story that you are saved by grace through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so I want to see here how that God chose Jacob. He is following exactly the same pattern and path of the two creations. You and I are blessed only because we are chosen or we are elected in Christ Jesus. He goes over and over and he goes into great detail to show that it is not seeds as of many, but seed as of one, even Christ. In Isaac shall thy seed be called means in Christ shall thy seed be called. It is because of our birth that we are blessed. It is because of our birth that God has pronounced on us the wonderful beauty and the glory of the Abrahamic covenant. And so Jacob is here. God is not unrighteous because he chose him. But I want to back up here to verse 13. Now in verse 12, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. And that was an absolute fact and decree from God while they were yet in the womb. This is the point I want to make as we come to this next point concerning the blessing of the Lord. This third point concerning the blessing of the Lord means that you and I must desire this blessing. Notice what he says here in verse 13. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. God did not say that while the children were yet in the womb. This was not said until it was not written, until the very last book of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. It was well after these men had manifested who they were And then God said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. I want to turn back to the book of Genesis. Let us go to the 25th chapter of this book. Jacob has been much maligned down through the years. He has been called a thief, a scoundrel, deceitful, all sorts of things. But I want to notice that Jacob was a man of faith, and Jacob did not steal anything. It is vitally important that we understand the difference between Jacob and Esau. It is vitally important that we understand why God said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. We find that Jacob was a man that took every opportunity. And he was, as we're going to see, seeking the right thing. We are never told whether or not Rebekah told Jacob that the elder shall serve the younger. There's no record one way or the other. We are never told if she imparted this information to Isaac, not one way or the other. But what we are told is that Jacob had an extreme desire for the things and for the blessings of God. Notice verse 31. Well, let's read verse 30 to get the context of this. Esau said to Jacob, he had been out hunting, he hadn't been very successful. He came in and Jacob had some stew going. And so Esau said to Jacob in verse 30, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore, his name is called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And this is the key, sell it to me. It is said on down here that Esau did exactly that. He sold his birthright. Jacob did not steal it. Esau did this with his eyes wide open. And this statement that he makes here in verse 32 tells us that Esau was in no wise a man of faith. He was not a man who believed God, who believed that God would just give him these blessings unto him. You will notice that he says in verse 32, behold, I'm at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me? I'm going to die anyway, so what difference does it make? Well, Jacob said in verse 33, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him, and again, he sold his birthright unto Jacob. We need to understand that the blessing and the birthright are not the same. The birthright was given to Esau because he was born first. The birthright gave the person who had it access into all of those glorious, wonderful, absolutely invaluable treasures of the Lord. And Esau said, I'm going to die anyway, so it's not going to do me any good. He is a man that would not believe in the resurrection power of Christ, that God would keep him alive to enjoy it. He was not a man of faith. I say again, Jacob was an opportunist, but he was no thief. He paid for this birthright. The birthright means the same to Christians today. You and I have been given a birthright. The birthright is the new birth. through which God has given us access into the deepest and the most choice blessings that God has in all of his possession. There is no end to them, but because we have the birthright in Christ, and it is indeed because we are in Christ, God has chosen, elected to do it that way, we have access into all of this wonderful blessing, spiritual blessing, and many others that God has provided for us. Every Christian has the right to pursue this blessing which the birthright brings. Access into all of these treasures. But I want to notice here, verse 34, Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat, and he drank, and he rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. This is really God's assessment of what Esau did. He sold it, but God says that he despised it. When we understand what it took to give us that birthright, God is still jealous of it today. It cost the Lord Jesus everything that he had in order to buy the birthright for us. And if men do not esteem it any more valuable than a bowl of soup, yes, God is defended or offended. I would emphasize today that there are Christians, again, every Christian has the right to this birthright, has the right to these wonderful blessings. But every Christian does not have the desire to pursue those blessings the way that Jacob did. We'll not turn there, but here is God's opinion from Hebrews 12, verses 16 and 17. Paul is warning, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. You know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. That means he was rejected by God. Not by Isaac. He was rejected by God. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. And so Esau willingly gave up this tremendous, tremendous blessing of the Lord that he could have had he just believed God. Jacob bought it, and Jacob also went on his way. What are the blessings that we're talking about? This is the fourth point I want to notice today. What are those blessings? Just going to read a few verses. They are legion. They apply to us spirit, soul, and body. But just for a little taste, just for a little demonstration of what the blessings of God are. Genesis 17, 15, God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, I will bless her. Give thee a son of her. I will bless her. She'll be a mother of many nations. Children are a blessing from the Lord. Sarah received the added blessing here that she is a mother of many nations. Numbers 6:27. They shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Here we find the blessing is in the name that he has placed upon us, Christian. It simply means that we are blessed in the name of the Lord. Go through the scripture sometime and find out how many times that it says in the name of the Lord. And the glorious provision that is ours simply when we ask in the name of the Lord. Deuteronomy 12:15. You may kill and eat flesh in all thy gates according to the blessing of the Lord. Our natural food, even the wild animals, Scripture declares it to be a blessing of the Lord. And it is important that we understand that what God has given to us is his blessing. It is his gift unto us. Deuteronomy 16:17. Every man shall give as he is able according to the blessing of the Lord, thy God, which he giveth unto thee. This is a reference to the material wealth and blessing that God gave to them. And God simply says, give some of it back. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. It doesn't make any difference what that blessing is. It makes us rich. And he adds no sorrow with it. And that means that it is a gift and we didn't do anything untoward or anything to violate our conscience in order to obtain it. Turn to the 27th chapter once again of this book, Genesis. We want to contrast the blessing of Jacob and Esau. Esau didn't get the choice blessing, but he did get a blessing. And I fear that there are many in our day that are choosing the blessing of Esau rather than the blessing that Jacob got. God intends that we should get the choicest. But what is it? We have seen some of that in these scriptures, but I want to see it from the actual pronouncement that Isaac made. Genesis 27, and you will notice verse 27. And Jacob came near and kissed his father. He smelled the smell of his raiment, and he blessed him, and he said, see, the smell of my son, which is the smell of a field, which the Lord has blessed. We know the story here that Jacob had disguised himself as Esau. There's a beautiful redemption story in that. But I want to get to the blessing. Verse 28. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven. This, the dew of heaven, is the priority in Jacob's blessing. It points to the fact, as Paul tells us in Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The priority in Jacob's blessing is of heavenly riches and treasures. Notice further, then comes the fatness of the earth. Yes, God gave him the fatness of the earth, as we've already seen in some of these others, how God has blessed you materially, then give some back, he says. Then we read, plenty of corn. Corn in Scripture is symbolic of resurrection life. Except a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it brings forth much fruit. This tells us of that resurrection corn, that resurrection life, which God has given unto us. And it is just immeasurable, and it is invaluable. And we must absolutely appropriate this corn that God has given unto us. And then the wine. That's the wine of the Holy Ghost. It tells us of the joy, the intoxication, the exuberance of the power of the Holy Ghost that is given unto us. And there's no substitute for that. You remember that Jesus went beyond and he turned water into wine to do his first miracle. It's the wonder of the power of the Holy Ghost that he has given unto us. Verse 29, let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. This is the victory that God has given to us over sin and Satan and the flesh and all of these, this opposition. God has given to us that victory in Christ Jesus. Be Lord over thy brethren. Let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Then he adds, cursed be everyone that curses thee. Blessed be he that blesses thee. That is direct quotation from the Abrahamic covenant. And indeed, God has passed that on to Jacob at this particular point. Well, as we noted, just as quick as he pronounced that blessing upon Jacob, here came Esau. Verse 30, as soon as Isaac made an end of it, he was not hardly out of the presence, and Esau came. And he had brought his savory meat. And in verse 34, you will notice Jacob, or rather Esau, wants to know, where is my blessing? Verse 34, when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And of course, he accuses Jacob, but Jacob is not to blame. Esau had already sold that blessing for a bowl of the world's soup. And I fear today that many Christians are doing the same thing. Let us notice, what is this man's blessing? We see, first of all, that he cried in verse 34 with a great and exceeding bitter cry. Again, he accused Jacob, and he cried out again. And as we noted from Hebrews 12:17, he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. But he did get a blessing. Verse 39. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth. You will notice the priority. Your dwelling. You live here. You're identified with the earth. Remember, the first priority of Jacob's blessing was a dew of heaven. Not so here. Your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth. Then he adds, of the dew of heaven. That means it's just the rain that comes down so that the earth can be fed. This is not the same spiritual blessing which was the priority in Jacob's blessing at all. This is simply the rain which would come down. And so we read that he got the dew of heaven. All right. But it was just the earthly rains. There is no mention of the corn. There's no mention of the wine. There's no mention of the great victory like Jacob had. Verse 40. By thy sword shalt thou live. Violence is the part that this man is going to get. And you're going to serve your brother, but it'll come to pass when you shall have the dominion, you shall break his yoke from off your neck. This is the story of the two creations. Every believer has to face it. Let us understand that every one of us have Esau inside us. He is of the flesh, the old creation. There is this constant battle. And if we as Jacob do not rise up and take the victory that God has given to us over the flesh, he will rise up and indeed take that dominion and break his yoke from off thy neck. If you go through this story, you'll find Jacob had to deal with this exact situation later on before God was able to give him the fullness of this blessing. But again, that's another message. I want to notice here how that Esau basically got what he wanted. If you trace this down to the end when he and Jacob met again, Esau said this. Jacob was offering him a present to buy his favor. Esau said this, "I have enough." This is what concerns me with many of God's people today. They really are satisfied with the fatness of the earth. Even though there is war on every hand, they are against everyone. They are clamoring for everything that they can possibly get. They are satisfied with dwelling in this earth and having the fatness of the earth. This is why, again, I say that desire is so important, as we'll see again here in just a moment. It is absolutely imperative that you and I have the right and the extreme desire for the things of God if we are ever going to get these glorious blessings that God has given unto us. And so Esau was satisfied with his blessing. Let us close with the fifth point today. How do we get these blessings? Turn to the 11th chapter of Mark's gospel. This is found many, many places in Scripture, but I wanted to go to these words of Jesus, the exhortation that he gives unto us. He is the one who died to give us this birthright. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. He's the one who provided us with these tremendous riches that we have seen and that we should pursue and study in our own experience to find out just exactly what is available for us. In the 11th chapter of Mark, let us begin with verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you shall receive them, and you shall have them. There are two elements that are absolutely imperative if we are going to enjoy the fullness of God's blessing. The first is desire. We must desire the right thing. Jacob did. He wanted the very priceless possession that was offered by that birthright. And he took every opportunity and he exerted every kind of energy in order to get it, in order to accomplish it. I would point out that Jacob's desire there with his brother Esau and disguising himself to obtain the blessing is not the last time we see his desire. Very late in his life, even before he met Esau, you remember that Jacob wrestled with the angel. And his desire was so strong that even when his hip was out of joint, he said, I'll not let you go except you bless me. This is the kind of desire that God's people must have for these deep blessings of God if we are ever going to receive the fullness of what He has for us. It cannot be a complacent attitude. It cannot be, well, if the Lord gets ready to bless me, He'll do it. We must pursue it with every fiber of our being. And that's what Jesus is saying. What things soever you desire. James chided Christians when he said, you have not because you ask amiss that you may consume it on your own flesh. We must have the right desire, which Jacob had. And when he had that desire, then when you pray, believe that you receive them. Just simple faith. God's principle in anything that He has ever offered unto man is always the same, from the very least to the very greatest. For by grace are you saved through faith. Just believe what God has graciously given unto us. There are a number who have expressed this great desire. Jacob did, as we noticed. Here's what Job said about his desire. Job 23:12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of my lips. I've esteemed the words of thy mouth, or his mouth, more than my necessary food. Can we measure our own lives by that statement? Do I want the Word of God even more than my natural food? Psalm 40 and verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. Psalm 119:10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, what desire there is. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 5:6. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That promise is still for us in all of those wonderful spiritual blessings. And so I say in closing today, you and I have the same choice that Jacob did. We can either just sit back and wait for them to come to us, which they really won't entirely, or we can pursue these blessings very aggressively, even as Jacob did, and God did fulfill every promise that He made to Jacob. After all of this, I think we can well understand how justified God was in saying, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Jacob loves, God loves those who, like Jacob, pursue these wonderful blessings of the Lord and show how valuable they are unto them.